I too would like to say good morning and greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to gather this morning with you, and it's especially special to be here on this for this service this morning, because it marks a milestone that we're at before beginning the new work. It's also especially pleasant to be here for church work that includes adding more members into our church number. Well, as I was thinking about a message for today and thinking about what I should share with the Great Lakes congregation, I have a message that is meant to be a message of encouragement, a message that speaks to a need in my own life. And so I want to share with you this morning, and I want to share in such a way that I want you to realize before we go into the message that it's something that I need to grow in my own life, and something that I find myself in need of. One of the realities of the Christian life is that each one of us comes into a church group and into a body with our own perspectives and backgrounds. Each one of us comes and we have in the back of our mind, we have this accepted norm because of who we are and where we've been and what has influenced us in our lives. Some of you young boys that are sitting here, you like Chevy pickups because your dad drives a Chevy pickup. And probably on the sister's side, as young girls grow up, there's a certain kind of sewing machine that they've just got to have, because in their culture and in their home and among their peers, that is what is quality and that is what is fitting and that's what we need. We have normal dress standards that we get used to. And in the culture that I grew up in, us young men went to play volleyball in our blue jeans. And I remember as a young man going to another church that was very similar and going there with my blue jeans and realizing that wasn't their culture. And I sort of stood out as maybe a little bit of a rebel. And so we all have that, our culture. But today we'd like to think a little bit about our different backgrounds and how it has an influence on our lives. And before we get into the scriptures, I'm going to share a scenario, a little story that I made up, and I'm going to use it as we go through the message, maybe just a little bit to help us as we think about relating. I'm going to preach the message titled, Maintaining a Healthy View of Brotherhood. Maintaining a Healthy View of Brotherhood. And we're going to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for scripture reading this morning. We're going to read this entire chapter. But I want to just share a little story, it's just a made-up story here to help illustrate the point this morning on maintaining a healthy view of brotherhood. So here's a story. Brother Bob was raised in a conservative Mennonite church. Bob had the privilege of having all 10 years of his schooling in their own church school setting. He was a brilliant and studious scholar who was often at the head of his class. For several years as a young man, Bob taught at the school here and really had done a very good job. Now, 15 years later, Bob finds himself serving his second term on the school board. He enjoys the interaction with the teachers and students. He has practical advice to give to many of the circumstances the teachers face, and understands the way the school works inside out. Bob's fellow school board share some different backgrounds. Jordan has been a member of the church for 10 years. He was raised in a Baptist home and found the Mennonites through a street meeting at his local college. He was schooled in the public school system and has a college degree in engineering. Now he and his wife send their children to school here and are blessed by the purity and simplicity of the Christian day school system. Another member of the school board, Joe, on the other hand, came from an Amish setting. He and his wife had been converted through personal Bible study and came to this church only several years ago. Joe's schooling was also in their local church-run school, which went through the eighth grade. School was not easy for him, and his children also are struggling in school. To complicate the matter even more, finances are fairly tight, and he could really use his 14-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter to help more with the work on the farm to eliminate a hired man that he struggles to support. The other two brothers on the school board were both schooled in the local Mennonite school, but are fairly laid back and mostly go along with the flow. Now, we could continue on with the story and go on, but I want to use this scenario to talk about maintaining a healthy view of brotherhood. And we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I wasn't sure exactly where to cut in and cut out in this chapter, and so I think we're just going to read the entire chapter. We're going to use it as a springboard. We're going to take verse 27 as our text verse this morning. Verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Remember, Paul was writing this message to a individual church. He was writing it to the Corinthians, and he said, ye are the body of Christ. Your church is a body. It's the body of Christ, and your members in particular. You're each one called specifically to this body for a purpose and for a reason. We'll just break in at verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." I think he's saying and talking about difference of administrations. There's different church groups. There's different bodies meeting together. But it's all part of Jesus Christ. "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Or the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, And God has set in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now this chapter here covers a fairly large spectrum of thoughts here, but the point that we'd like to focus on this morning is the reality of our dependence on each other, the need for you and I to be part of the body, the local body, a visible body, to be successful in our Christian life. He says there in verse 27, our text, now are ye the body of Christ. So he says you're part of the big body, and members in particular, you belong somewhere. You have a connection, an earthly connection that is more than just, well, I'm a Christian. And it zeroes in to a group of believers who have decided to work together. And these verses here that Paul writes specifically shows us that this local body is designed and constructed by the hand of God. God has chosen who is here at Great Lakes. God has chosen who will be part of the church at Owosso. God has chosen who has joined Great Lakes and who is attending Great Lakes. And those that have gone to another group, if we're part of another group as well. God has placed you there as members in particular for a purpose. And it's important that you and I learn to appreciate and work together as we relate inside the body of Christ. When God designed your church, He took pains to make sure that the body would be made up of varying backgrounds, perspectives, and opinions. I think He did. I think God took special interest in that. I thought about our little church down at Lenaway, and we moved into the community, and here we were seven families. We came from one location. We had basically the same background. We had some differences of backgrounds, but we had been together as believers underneath one sound of one pulpit for quite a few years. And we moved in there, and God said, you need some outside influence. And we have the St. Marie family there. And now Gordon's moved in this past week, and we have the Bang family that moved in a couple weeks ago. And certainly is a blessing. And we also have a number of community folks that have been attending as well, and it helps to blend us together. But I don't know how you find it. I know that God takes pains to takes an interest in the church, and He creates it in His own divine will with differing opinions and backgrounds to make us into something beautiful. And I don't know how you find it, but I admit at times that it can become wearying to accept others' opinions and their backgrounds. We have this nature within us that we know what's acceptable. And we are pretty comfortable how we are. And it can become wearing at times when suddenly our comfort zone is disrupted by someone who has a slightly different opinion of how things should be handled. This morning in our little story of Bob and Jordan and Joe, we see some varying opinions. Maybe I used a little extreme there to try to bring out the point. But yet in our church today, as in our story there, we do well to accept the fact that God placed us with our differences together in one body for a reason. And I think when we find that and find comfort in that, it helps us as we go forward. Anytime you have more than one person working together, there needs to be give and take, and we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. And in order for a brotherhood to function, I must be willing to lay down my personal opinions and blend my view into our view. And maybe that's one of the difficult things that we find as we think about maintaining a healthy view of brotherhood. I want to look at 4 points this morning. They're not all inclusive, and I think that we covered some points this morning in our Sunday school lesson, thinking about the spiritual aspect of church life and dedication to Jesus Christ that certainly must be in place if we're going to have a healthy view of brotherhood. And we're not going to look at that aspect this morning. We're going to just look at 4 practical points that some helps to our church having a healthy view of brotherhood. The first point is we will purpose to find the good in our brothers and sisters. We will purpose to find the good in our brothers and sisters. If we're going to have a healthy view of church and brotherhood, we're going to have to take an active, make an active choice to see the good in each other. I know in my own life there's enough flat spots that if you want to focus on the negatives, you can get really disappointed and discouraged. And I think it's pretty common among us. Apostle Paul is a good example of this, and I was thinking about an example of someone who looked at the good in someone else. We remember Apostle Paul, and probably one of the outstanding things about Apostle Paul, that maybe disappointing things about Apostle Paul, is there in Acts 15 when he and Barnabas are there and they're deciding they're going on this next missionary journey, and Barnabas says, "Let's take my nephew John Mark along," and Paul says, "Absolutely, we're not going to do that. Last time we headed out, we didn't get all that far," and he turned back. And there's in this missionary work, there's no room for people who are not committed. And we remember how that contention was really strong, and they disagreed, and they finally agreed that Paul would go one way and Barnabas would go another way. They would take their own people and they would go. But the precious thing about that is, as you read through the New Testament, follow Paul's response to John Mark as we go later on. We could turn this morning, let's just turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read a couple verses here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thinking about purposing to find good in my brother. So here's this man who at one point had left them down on a missionary journey when things were tough, and he had turned back. And here we have in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, and in verse 9, we'll read verses 9 through 11. He says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now I understand that this Mark here that he says is John Mark. It's the very same man. And Paul was humble enough, and as he observed the life, and as he thought of him as a brother, and he was willing to give him another chance, he told Timothy, he said, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And Philemon also, Paul talks about Mark. He's in the translation that says Marcus, but we believe that it was John Mark as well. And in Philemon there, Paul lists him as one of his fellow laborers. Paul could have refused to accept Mark, John Mark, forever, but he chose to see that even though John Mark was not as bold or as strong as some of his other fellow missionaries, God was using him. Paul was willing to look beyond the negatives that were really there and see him as a valuable friend and fellow laborer in the gospel. And I think that's important this morning. If we're going to maintain a healthy view of brotherhood. We're going to need to be willing to overlook or to allow each other to have some weaknesses and yet purpose to find the good in our brothers and sisters. Sometimes a brother or sister lets us down and their negative traits are very much in focus. I think that's just a reality. And as you and I relate to them, we can either we'll make an effort to find good in them, or we'll write them off as useless, and we will not even give them the time of the day. We might even consider them a hindrance to the brotherhood. 1 Corinthians 12, that were our text chapter there, verse 22, Paul says, "Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." He said, we need to realize that there are individuals that have some weaknesses, and sometimes we question how strong they are, but they fill a vital role inside of the brotherhood. This morning, I want to remind ourselves that God doesn't make any useless people. God has a purpose for each one that He places in the brotherhood, and he has a ministry for them to fulfill as they walk together in the brotherhood with us. Secondly, moving on to the second point, if we're committed to maintain a healthy view of brotherhood, we must accept the fact that our peers are not perfect. We must accept the fact that our peers are not perfect. That runs pretty parallel with our last thought here. I'd like to just turn to Colossians 3 and read a couple verses here in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to break in at verse 12 here. He starts out in Colossians 3 and he talks about people who are Christians. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." So it's those of us who have put away our old nature and we're born again. And he lists the number of things that we're to put off and we're supposed to put on. But we come down towards the middle of the chapter here, thinking about our peers not being perfect. In verse 12 it says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God," or as children of God, as born again believers, "put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels and mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." We're just going to break off reading there. Paul mentions the fact of forbearance in verse 13 and forgiving others and having charity and reminding us again that we are called in one body and we're called to be forbearing one to another. So this morning I just want to share the challenge that as we relate to each other in the brotherhood, let's give some room for honest mistakes. Let's give some room for honest mistakes, not willful sinning. I think we need to be clear that the Bible does not give room for that. And as a brotherhood, we need to hold each other accountable, and we need to be clear that we don't give room for willful sinning or for refusing to accept the Bible or to obey what the Scripture says. But let's give some room for some honest mistakes. Let's give forbearance. And let's accept the fact that just as we are not perfect, neither are those that we have joined within the brotherhood. Let's be honest enough to see our own inabilities and give room for others to grow in the Christian walk. Let's accept the fact that your peers and you yourself are not perfect. Another key to this maintaining of a healthy view of brotherhood is realizing there is more than one right way to do many things. Realizing that there is more than one right way to do many things. We notice that in our verses that we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talked about different administrations. It talked about different opinions. And I think it's important that you and I, as we're part of the brotherhood, that we acknowledge the fact that there is more than right way, one right way to do many things. I'd like us just to think back a little bit to our little story that we made there, Bob and Jordan and Joe and the rest of their board there. Picture these five men sitting around in school board meeting and discussing the importance of learning algebra in school. Picture that discussion with their different perspectives and backgrounds. Or maybe the purpose of taking a course on American government. How important is it to know how our government works and their backgrounds, and the one with a college education and the one with an eighth grade education and another one who grew up in this school and they always did it this way. Picture that discussion. Think of how their perspectives would vary on how to handle the eighth grade boy who hates school and would like to go work on the farm with his dad. The man that has a college education, once again, versus those of us who have been through the ninth or tenth grade or eighth grade. All of us have a frame of reference behind because of the circumstances of life that have shaped our perspectives. And this morning, I'd like to remind ourselves as we think about maintaining a healthy view of brotherhood. If you and I are going to do that, then we're going to have to come to rest with the fact that in many things that are not right and wrong in themselves, there's more than one right way to do it. Some ways may have, at least from our perspective, a distinct advantage. I think that's being fair with it. Some ways have a distinct advantage from our perspective. Some ways may make us uncomfortable because they go against what we have traditionally practiced. They sort of take us outside of the way we normally do it. But many are not right or wrong in themselves, and in the area where it is neither right or wrong, we need to find strength in blending our views and extending charity in the brotherhood. The fourth point, the last point we want to look at yet, maintaining a healthy view of brotherhood is possible when we all endeavor to be the brother or sister that our brotherhood needs. When we all endeavor to be the brother or sister that my brotherhood needs. Many times, at least I find that when I focus on being a true brother, when I focus on what can I do to improve my brotherhood, what can I do, what is my responsibility, what is my calling, when I focus on doing well what I am called to do inside my brotherhood, most of the things that rub me the wrong way become less abrasive, and my appreciation for my brotherhood, my fellow brothers, increases. Verse 31 here in 1 Corinthians 12 says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." And I think what this verse is simply meaning in our language today, we would say, but desire to do your best. Covet the best gift is a desire to do great things for God. Desire to do great things for God. And so that's what the first part of the verse says. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Choose to put your shoulder to the wheel and do the best that you can for God. And it says, "And yet I show unto you a more excellent way." What was the more excellent way that Apostle Paul was showing to the Corinthians? Well, I think it was the way of submission. It was the way of appreciating the brotherhood. It was the way of being willing to serve and to submit and to blend into a group. He says, be determined to do your best, but then I show you a more excellent way. Have grace for the brotherhood and blend together. Be the brother or sister that my brotherhood needs. If God calls you through the church to be the janitor, do it with all your heart. Just be the janitor. If he calls you to teach Sunday school, if he calls you to be a school teacher, if he calls you to preach the word, if he calls you to sit on the school board, whatever calling he gives you, do your part and then give space to those that serve in the brotherhood with you also to live out their calling, as God has called them to serve as well. Maybe we don't need to talk about this here this morning at Great Lakes, but I find it easy for myself to spend too much time focusing on others and their responsibility, and maybe where they're not quite meeting or coming up to the grade I'd like to see them. If they're on the school board, challenging a little bit the decisions they've made. I think it's our human nature. But I'd like to encourage us this morning to be and do what God has called you to do and allow others to have the grace and the privilege to lead out in the areas that God has called them to do. Let's just suppose for a little bit here that Jordan in our story of the school board is the chairman this year, and Bob is the treasurer. Remember, Jordan came into the congregation here. He's been around for about 15 years. He grew up with a different background. He has a different perspective. But Bob has been here forever, and he's taught school, and he's served before on the board, and he's on a second round serving on the board. He knows how it happens. But Bob is the treasurer, but Bob notices all the little things that Jordan forgets and reminds him of his responsibility. He checks with the teachers to make sure Jordan has, in fact, addressed the issue that was discussed at last board meeting. He undermines Jordan's authority and shares with the patrons or teachers that he has to admit he doesn't agree with some of the decisions that were made, and sadly shakes his head at the way things have changed in the last several years. This morning I'd like to say that Bob would do his school and his brotherhood a great favor if he would humbly submit to the group and fill his role and allow Jordan to make some mistakes and to learn from him. I want to just leave that this morning as a challenge under this point. Be the brother or sister that my brotherhood needs. In closing, I'd like us just to think for a minute. Is brotherhood important to you? How much do you value your brotherhood? How much is it worth it to you that you have brotherhood that is warm and brotherhood that you can relate to each other and there's no undercurrents that are stirring up and holding us apart? How much is that worth to you? Do you, do I, feel the need to belong? Can I see the strength in blending my imperfect views to the group view with 20 or 50 or 100 other imperfect people to come up with a much more balanced view? Or this morning, let's be honest with ourselves, is it just easier for me to bulldoze my own way ahead and have it my way? God places each one of us in our respective brotherhoods for a specific purpose. And this morning I want to just leave with our text verse. Now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. So let's value our brotherhood. Let's look at each other. Let's give each other some room to make some mistakes. And let's be willing to fill our roles and responsibilities as God calls each one of us to serve in his vineyard here today. Do we value our brotherhood? How much is it worth it to you to have a good relationship with those who sit next to you in church every Sunday morning? Let's think about that as we go throughout the days ahead. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear God, we bow before you here this morning, and we humbly acknowledge you as the sovereign God. We acknowledge you as the Lord of the church and as the one who is in control of our lives and works out the circumstances that we face from day to day. And God, today we thank you for making our church brotherhood what it is. Help us, Lord, to love the brotherhood. Help us, Lord, to strive together and to build each other up and to seek to serve you faithfully in the brotherhood as you've called us. Just go with us, Lord, and help us to be people of integrity and people who acknowledge you and walk in your ways each step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.